and welcome to yet another fun-filled episode of My Dog Will Eat My Face. Today, I wanted to start out with a rather old saying, so to speak, that I believe was first composed by the poet Horace. Of course, about 2 millennia ago, I suppose. But it's something I've held close to my heart for most of my life. I've actually known this quote for some reason or another since, I would say, probably middle school. So it's something that I've held close to the heart for a long time. And I know I've said it before, but I want to start off today's podcast with a reference to that again. And what Horace did write some time ago was something along the lines of, "Happy is he the man who can call today his own. He who, secure within, can say, tomorrow do thy worst, for I've lived today." And obviously, what does that mean? I mean, I think it's rather obvious in that it's amongst many other quotes that I know, especially from the ancient Stoics, where the day itself, 2 days, that is valued. And living today is what will bring you happiness. Boldly knowing that tomorrow could be the absolute worst. Again, for I lived today. And I bring this up again because as of late, the truth is I've been struggling quite a bit physically with my health seeming to deteriorate. I'm slowly increasing the liter flows of oxygen again, and feeling short of breath again, and have a very severe generalized weakness and fatigue that seems to persist day in and day out. And of course, I've complained about this to my hospice nurses, and they say that's just the progression. My heart is struggling so much to stay alive that for me, just to sit around and watch a movie or get up and do laundry or whatever it might be, so simple, is quite a struggle, actually, for my heart. I may as well be on a vigorous hike to compare it to a normal, healthy heart. Whereas I'm just maybe microwaving popcorn or something. And along with that fatigue and loss of energy, I think I've come to a point, honestly, where I don't think I can say, "Tomorrow do thy worst, for I lived today." Because today, as my condition worsens, I seem to do less and less. And what's more is other past traumas that I may have survived through or handled quite well are suddenly resurfacing in my mind and plaguing me with insecurities, anxiety, and loss of identity, loss of self. And I'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But I am very much struggling to find that happiness because I think more and more I can no longer say I lived today, because I've had entire days melt away to being in bed with no energy to do anything. And that's not exactly uplifting for anyone. So, today I just wanted to talk about that a little bit as to why I no longer feel like I've lived today, and also how past traumas that happened maybe years ago are suddenly resurfacing and robbing me of an otherwise upbeat attitude, frankly. So, not a very cheery topic, but for myself, I feel it's something I need to address. So, to begin with, obviously my health, as I said, has been seemingly declining. I am slowly again increasing the intake in oxygen, supplemental oxygen, a little bit more and then a little bit more, with it seems each passing week. And along with that, I've got increased shortness of breath and just physical inabilities to do almost anything. It's got to the point where it's very difficult for me to check my own mail, and I have to rely on a volunteer to do that. Well, he's actually a listener to this podcast, so I probably should have mentioned that's a bad thing. I do appreciate everything he does for me. But my problem is I wish my physical abilities were not declining as such. But I am grateful for what he does. Don't get me wrong. Anyway. I lost my train of thought. So yeah, my physical abilities have been increasingly declining, of course. And there are literally some days that passed where I can just barely even get out of bed. And I'm sure you can even hear it in my voice. I persistently, it seems, sound like I've been out screaming at a hockey game the prior night or something. I don't know. My voice sounds really weak and hoarse, and apart from talking to my dog occasionally, I'm not saying anything to anyone for the most part every day. But in other words, the first thing I say of every day, it sounds like I've been up screaming all night when I haven't. So I can feel my voice even getting weaker, which is weird and very obnoxious. And then, so I'm stuck in this paradigm of not really doing much with each passing day. And seemingly doing less and less, in fact, with each passing day. Ergo, I'm struggling to find happiness and feeling secure within to say, I've lived today. Now, of course, I could say that I've lived a full life, and I'm totally at peace with that. And that's still true. I can indeed say that I'm extraordinarily fortunate to have had the life that I have had, against all odds, frankly. And how incredible and full it was with different adventures and experiences that, frankly, just one alone could be a highlight of someone's life. And when I reflect on it, I don't just have one of those things. I seem to have a just enormous diversity of experiences. And things I don't even normally very much talk about, but maybe in a conversation with a friend or just bumping into something in my home, I get reminded of something. I And I'm just like, oh yeah, that was a pretty cool experience, or that was crazy, or whatever it might be. Just for example, recently, I had a friend of mine, go off for some reason about how much he liked, Sweeney Todd, the barber of Fleet Street. I'm sure you've all heard of that. Anyway, he just likes the musical, and I said, oh yeah, I got to see that live in London and meet the original cast backstage. And I only brought it up because he was talking about Sweeney Todd. And he just immediately called me a slurry of names. And then I thought about it. It's like, yeah, I also saw Miss Saigon at the Drury Theater in London and got to go backstage there and meet the cast. And I also saw a Mozart concert in the Vienna concert hall. And saw the opera Salome at the Sydney Opera House. And saw a traditional Chinese theater at the Beijing Opera House. I mean, you know, I don't ever really think of performing arts as a particular interest of mine, but then when I mention things like that in passing, people just get really and bitterly jealous. Because to them, that would make their whole life almost complete. And to me, it was just part of many experiences I've been lucky enough to have in my life. So I digress. My point being is I still firmly am at peace with that. I have lived a full life. And I really think that's what Horace is really trying to get to. At least in part. But I am struggling when now I don't feel like I've lived 2 days. Most certainly I've had a full life. I'm at peace with that. And I accept the terms of my mortality in whatever form they may come. And I'm completely at peace with that. But I do struggle, I suppose, with just being happy to securely say I've lived today. And that has certainly taken a toll on me as of late. And what's more, the other thing I wanted to address was old traumas, so to speak, have been surfacing. And what I'm alluding to there is I've now not worked for a number of years for sure. And that is really taking a toll on me, to be honest. And it's not surprising. Before my health really went downhill, I even remember reading stories about how men in particular get depressed or a loss of identity if they stop working for an extended period of time and can go into depression. Because in a lot of cases for men, their work is a huge part of their identity. And I was in the middle of a 20 plus year career when my health went downhill. So a big part of me, absolutely, my identity was largely wrapped around what I did for a living. I'm actually surprised I've made it this many years without feeling worse about it. Actually, as I think about it, feeling angst about that 5 years after the fact is kind of good. I suppose. I mean, golly, what I would expect me to feel bad about that 5 days after that. But I guess for me, it was just a slow burn, I guess. I don't know what else to call it. I don't know. But it was a very significant loss of my identity, even of my thought of myself. And I don't think I've managed to fully replace that. Sure, I have other qualities, but my identity was largely wrapped around my career. And again, I know that's not uncommon, especially with men. And it's probably not very uncommon with women. Gosh, most certainly it doesn't matter who you are. You have to have a pulse to not be bummed about losing a job for whatever reason, your health or a layoff or whatever it might be. I mean, give me a break. No one ever really says, yippee. I don't know. Maybe men just exhibit it more. I don't know. It's certainly not a good event, no matter how you stretch it. But I do know that lately I've been feeling more and more at loss with not knowing who I am. I've lost my identity, truthfully. And my subconscious is not very subtle, too. And the reason why I say that is I've been having a lot of, I don't want to say nightmares. I guess they're nightmares, but they're kind of more like stress dreams. Like, you have a dream about something and it's just super, super stressful. There's not like something weird, like a monster in it or Freddy Krueger. I don't know. Nothing stupid. But it might be like a dream about you trying to finalize a PowerPoint presentation for work, and then it saves to the wrong folder, and then you can't find it when you're about to give a 4-hour training. I don't know. Weird dreams like that is what I've been having. Work-related dreams, stress dreams, and they've all been about not all, but substantially about work events lately. And so that's why I say my subconscious is not very subtle. You know, I think it's pretty obvious what my subconscious is saying, because I also feel that same way on the surface, that I lack a sense of who I am as time progresses without working. I guess my subconscious is very boring. But anyway, so that, I think that's really what's going on. It's been a slow burn. I like that phrase for some reason. For me to linger into this state of loss and anxiety and I guess depression. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. And that's, I think, largely because I feel like I'm doing less and less with each day. And so now my brain is going back to stuff that happened 5-6 years ago. And just repeating itself over and over. So I think that's also a large part of it, is that loss of identity. Without working, I do struggle to know even who I am. I really do. And that's a very terrible feeling. And that's why, in part, I can say, or I cannot say, I have lived today. Yesterday, by all means. Today. Not so much. Not so much. So one might think an easy solution to at least some of this issue is to be honest with myself and come to the resolution that I am far more than just my career. But frankly, that's something I've really endeavored to do now, I think, for years. I guess I haven't really outwardly tried to redefine myself. Because, frankly, as I've said before, I was happy with myself. Why would I want to change that? Unfortunately, my whole world changed around me. And there's nothing I can do about that. It's out of my control. So, even be it true that I've found new hobbies in the last few years, done things that I've never done before, for example, cooking, and doing it very well as well, I should add. And when my last dog passed away, I very much grieved for about 4 months. But then I was really peer pressured from people I know to adopt another dog. I had not planned to at all, frankly, so I originally just pushed back and was like, no. And I heard the same argument from totally different people who don't even know each other. More or less, it was the same argument. And it was along the lines of, I saw how much love you gave that dog. And it would be a terrible waste for you to not adopt again and not give that to another dog in need. Of course, I pushed back, but that same argument popped up, like I said, from different people, different origins, that don't communicate with each other. So I begrudgingly said, okay, I'll look at what's out there for adoption. And then people piled on it to help connect me with something. And I shouldn't say something, to help connect me with a dog, to adopt. And then I just happened to come across my current dog. And he was just a little slide amongst other dogs in the bottom of a screen capture that they sent me, where they were showing me a totally different dog on the big part of the page, but I could see tiles of other dogs you can scroll to, just at the bottom, you know what I mean? And I just saw this little tile of that other dog, and I was like, oh, wait. For some reason, I zoomed in, and like, visually on that dog. It's like, wait a minute, tell me more about this one. And long story short, I adopted him. And he's right next to me right now. And from what I know, he's had a dramatically better life than what he previously had. And he absolutely shows me tons of affection and love daily. Like I said, he's next to me right now. He doesn't want to ever leave my side. He's very loyal. And yeah, now I've had him for 2 years, and I couldn't imagine life without him now. So I could say, well, clearly I'm more than my job title, or my position, or my career. I never had anything to do with animals, or dogs, or anything like that. But apparently, among whatever else I am a good dog owner, I guess. I don't know. So, I mean, yeah, I guess I could say that. That's one thing. But even with that, And other, like I said, other things like picking up new hobbies and other things I've endeavored to do in the interim. Now, 5 or 6 years later, I am struggling. Just desperately missing work and working. I really am. I used to work in the law department at a major corporation. And I find myself watching YouTube videos of real court cases for fun. That's pretty sad when you're watching live streamed small claim cases for fun. I don't know. I know I'm not the only one doing it because there's tons of people online that do the same thing, but, you know. That's something that I've kind of caught myself doing in the absence of work. And I know why I'm doing it, because I miss working in that area. And having that career. So it's kind of like a bittersweet thing. I enjoy watching those things, but understandably, I have to also think at the end of it, God, I miss doing that. I miss being a part of that. And that's, again, where it's just hard. So, that's really what I'm struggling with today. And I'm not finding myself very happy today. Because of that longing, that loss of identity, and the inability to do more and more physically as time passes. I guess I can certainly add other things to the mix of how I define myself. I mean, I guess the career is just a secondary event that was a result of my general character. And I don't think my character itself has changed. As I say that to myself, forgive me for being so pensive. As I say that to myself, that might be the best solution that I need to explore. And that my career, sure, was part of my identity, but that was kind of shorthanding it. Because my career was secondary to my general character. Certainly what I did is not something that a lot of people could do. Within the parameters of their own general character as a person. And I don't mean that as in any way negative to someone else. I just mean what I went with could have been a lot of other things. It was just the secondary opportunity and event that presented itself. And how I made my money in life. I've always had a strong interest in architecture and aviation, and those were two things I've kind of, I don't know how to say it, dabbled, I don't want to say dabbled in, I mean, I've always had a strong interest in and like of. Certainly know a lot about those things. I mean, I've been in the United Airlines flight simulator and took off and landed in an Airbus 320 in the simulator. And the guy there looked at me and said, "Which airline do you work for?" And I said, "None." So, again, that's just something else that a lot of people can't say they've done that, frankly. So my general character I guess is the fundamental foundation of whatever it is I do for my career or anything else, for fun, for enjoyment, for a hobby, whatever it might be. And as I shared it here today, if I'm watching court cases for fun, then I don't think my character itself has changed. And that's truly who I am. And I am that with that job or without it. I am that on a desert island or in a big city. It doesn't matter. That's me. Of course it could be changed over time and adjusted. Duh. But my identity through work is just a secondary event to the primary, which is, again, my general character. I'm a very cognitive person. I enjoy thought-provoking stimuli. I enjoy using my mind. That's not change in any sense. I can absolutely vouch for that. So, perhaps that's the approach I've got to try to take. I don't need to redefine myself. I just need to understand that the fundamental basics of who I am remain intact. And the career, any career that I went into, is purely a secondary event to the former. So I am today who I was then. Albeit much more physically handicapped, so to speak. But I really do think that's the only way to look at that. And perhaps that way, I can once again say, tomorrow do thy worst, for I've lived today. With all that said, I'm actually going to wrap this week's podcast. For one reason, I'm tired. You can hear it in my voice, I'm sure. And for another reason, I've really got to sit and think on that. I actually have been somewhat perked up, so to speak, to look at myself and to think, wait a minute, I don't need to redefine myself. Because I am still me. And what I used to define myself was just a lazy way to do it. Was a lazy way to define who I am. And a lot of people do that. That's fine. But I think that fundamentally you need to be happy with who you are, regardless of how the external world collapses around you, outside of your control. And so I think, with that in mind, I have to really sit back and gnaw on that for a little bit. But I do feel like I've bumped into what could be a genuine answer to my predicament. But we shall see. But whatever may come of it, I just want to say thank you very much for tuning in to this week's kind of grim podcast. I guess when you're in a situation like mine, some days are going to be less joyous than others. But it is what it is. Anyway, I feel like I've touched on something, as I said, that might be a solution. So thank you for listening to this meandering maze of thoughts, trying to determine how to consider myself. Hopefully, as a listener, you've learned something about perhaps how you can define yourself at the basic levels and not through something that's a mere veneer. That's a consequence of the former, which is really who you are. And that's the part of you that's most important. So, again, thank you for tuning in and listening to my thoughts. If you want to support the podcast further, you could just go to the homepage on Spotify for My Dog Will Eat My Face and select Support This Podcast, or just go to patreon.com/mydogwilleatmyface and support it that way. But truly, you've already given me so much by just listening to my meandering thoughts. I do mean a sincere thanks for that. But for now, as I said, I need to gnaw on that a little bit and see if that is a good solution for me. But I will be in touch as soon as I can. But for now, auf Wiedersehen.